101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Micah McCarty. In studio, Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith. Have you gotten any sleep? Because you haven't stopped since.
Not very much at all.
I know you haven't stopped. You were at the city council meeting for 3 hours yesterday. I know you were on American Ground Radio last night with Louis Avalone and Stephen Parr. And you're here this morning. You've got a meeting at the state fair coming up. Like, you're a busy man.
I'm running off of caffeine out of my centenary college cup.
And he carries 8 phones. And all 8 of them are blown
up.
Right,
yes.
Chief Smith.
Yes, ma'am.
It seems like we meet this way every year, every other year, where we have a kind of a blow up somewhere, and we have to stomp out the fire, and we have to beef up patrols and all that, and come in and find answers. This is not your first rodeo.
No, ma'am.
Are there any new answers to this problem?
Well, you know, we learn from each event. We look at areas constantly, you know, for hot spots. We make our predictions where area-wise where things are subject to happen, and we develop strategies and deploy our resources to attempt to prevent it. And, you know, this past weekend, unfortunately, we were in the area. We were not just at the very spot where violence erupted.
For folks to say, but that's the hot spot. Spring in Texas is the hot spot. That's where you should have been. How do you answer that?
We were there just a couple of hundred feet, if that, away from where that violence erupted, giving assistance to a lady who was found laying in the street at Texas and Market Street, unconscious and unresponsive. So my team was there just couple hundred feet away.
And
we were there.
You probably knew in advance that some of the clubs on those corners weren't going to be open.
That is correct.
On Halloween night.
That is correct.
So your assumption would have been don't need to focus as much attention on that hot spot, if you will.
Yeah, there was some sense of relief, because prior to the violence erupted, there was virtually hardly anyone in that block on the street. People were inside the venue. I didn't have any idea how many people was inside, but there was not a lot of people outside moving around.
And important that we were just talking about before we went on the air, an important fact that a lot of people might not realize, if you've seen the video that's posted online on social media, you can see it at keelnews.com. It looks like there's hundreds of people out there throwing fists and fighting and blocking the streets. But if you look from overhead, the real-time crime center cameras, there weren't as many people as you think, were there?
No, looking at ground level, when there's a few people, it can give an illusion of a larger crowd than it really was. I thank our staff so much at the real-time crime center. We had hired back 2 operators to specifically isolate and watch all of the cameras in the downtown area. And the first alert that a fight was erupted came from the real-time crime center.
I'm glad to hear that, because we had been, probably me, Mike doesn't ever do anything wrong. I've been critical. And yeah, I said, somebody at the real-time crime center needs to be focused on that area,
right,
on specific areas. And you're saying they were, and
yes,
they made
ma'am.
The first call.
That is correct.
That's good to hear.
That is good to hear.
And is that a routine procedure now? That's what they do every weekend?
We're going to look and see, you know, if that would be a good plan to go. But the crowd that you saw after the fight erupted were not unusual crowds for downtown. Not at all. Not at all.
Heard you talk yesterday, and there was some mention of maybe we need to pull the 8 to 5 officers off of those jobs and put them downtown, have more officers downtown walking the streets, et cetera. And you made a point that we need to hear loud and clear.
Every bureau that's within the police department has been stripped of their resources to keep the patrol division staffed as best that it can. So if you take away, if we add more in that vein, you're going to take away from some other service that we provide.
You see, a lot of people might not realize that. You're already running thin in other departments mm-hmm. to keep patrol as strong as you can.
Fewer detectives to investigate crimes, right. burglaries, right. murders, rapes, whatever it might be, right?
That's correct. I hear from each bureau commander every week, I need more manpower. I need more help. I need to fill a vacancy. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. my answer is always, until we can adequately staff patrol, no one is getting anyone other than, you know, a dire emergency situation.
Let me ask you that elephant in the room question. Is getting police officers, is the problem pay, or is it people don't want to be cops anymore?
I think the latter is probably the better answer. Probably maybe one out of 50 people that I ask, would you consider joining our team of blue, tell me. And maybe one will say yes, and 49 will say, oh, no.
And their reason why is?
Well, you hear multiple reasons. That's not the job for me. It's too dangerous.
No respect.
No respect. I wouldn't last, a week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this goes back years. This goes back to prior federal administrations
that
began to villainize the police. So,
and everybody has a camera. And I said to, and I don't know if it was to Corporal Bordelon or another cop that called me yesterday, and I said, if you've got six police officers downtown and a couple of hundred people acting a fool, and those six officers have to walk in and start breaking that up, somebody's going to throw a bottle at them. Somebody's going to swing a punch at them. And guess what? Those cops are then going to take those people down. And guess what they will have? Video of cops doing their job. And that's when you take the heat. You Absolutely. Need our community and our leaders to stand behind you. When our cops go into a crowd like that, so outnumbered, they're going to have to protect themselves. And then people scream and holler, oh, you're beating up citizens. Why are you doing that? You got to have the support, right?
Absolutely. Many times it won't turn out great. And as police officers, we are making the best attempt to enforce the laws and the ordinances and the rules that society has put in place. Mm-hmm. It's just so unfortunate that all of society don't quite see it that way.
Well, and police are called at the worst situation.
Yep.
A police officer has to go into an already possibly hostile, violent situation or tense situation and try to either obtain or maintain control of that situation. And when it turns violent, maintaining or obtaining that control is not pretty.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can you stay with us?
Sure.
All right. We've got a couple of big questions for you still to ask.
Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith in studio, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith in studio, Mike and McCarty. Chief, we know this happened Halloween night. Now, today is November 5th. We got a comment. Why no arrests? Have we had any arrests? Are we identifying these suspects? And where are we on this investigation?
It's still an active case. It's under investigation. Lots of people involved. So I don't want to say much about it at this point, but just stay tuned. I'm quite sure that more information will come to follow.
But arrests are imminent if they've not already been made.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How many do you anticipate arresting?
Don't know. It was a lot of people involved.
Okay.
And I'm just not sure. The investigators are...
Some of the most disturbing images were the man on the ground, unconscious, and people kicking him in the head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that aggravated assault at that point, when you're kicking somebody?
Absolutely. Absolutely mm-hmm. it is. Mm-hmm.
And Absolutely. Was he taken to the hospital? Do we know how he is today? Does anybody have a clue how that young man is doing? Because it looked like he was completely out cold.
He was. And if you notice by the video, I don't know if the video that aired on social media showed it. A car pulled up almost immediately and pulled him in the car and took off with him. Mm. He was not there when we arrived on the scene.
Okay. I did not see that. Yeah.
He was already gone.
Those who are arrested, most of them will be charged with simple assault.
Simple assault, okay, fighting in public.
Okay. There's a question that is always asked of me. I'm sure you hear it too. This, again, 40-plus years for you at this. What is Bossier doing that this is not happening in Bossier? How do you answer that?
I really can't because I don't know a great deal about Bossier's entertainment district. But what I hear about Bossier's entertainment district, it is more family-oriented. It's geared to a different, I guess, level, age level of people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas our entertainment is more geared toward very, very young people.
You're going to take a position on whether the bar should be closing it? Is that a decision to be made by the council and the mayor?
Yeah, a lot of discussion is going to have to take place to roll that back, you know, by our council and our legislators. I can say that we are going to work as hard as we can to make it the safest environment that we possibly can, no matter what the closing times are.
I can say that it doesn't affect. I'm not out at 4 in the morning partying. I'm getting up at 4 in the morning as some are still out.
Yes.
But if someone were to ask me, I would say they absolutely need to be closed at 2 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
There's, again, I'm not 23 years old, so I'm, get off the lawn. But there's nothing good that happens at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I tell you what's amazing. Saturday night I was there. And Sunday morning till 3 o'clock in the morning, and up until midnight, I was wondering where people were. Is the entire downtown shut down? And all of a sudden, after midnight, in the early hours of the morning, that's when I see people began to come.
Let me ask you this, Chief, because you know this like I do. You focus your attention on downtown this weekend. These kids know that. I say kids, vast majority of them probably are close to 18, grown adults.
Mm-hmm.
They know, and so they move. They relocate to the Fant Parkway, to Ford Park. They're way ahead of you.
Yes, ma'am, that is correct.
How do you keep a track of this? Because we're going to have that problem at Ford Park, which is in Councilwoman Bowman's district. We'll have it on the Parkway, which I don't know how far down the park, Jim Talaferro's district.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? I mean, it's like you're chasing your tail.
That is correct.
Playing whack-a-mole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is correct. And, you know, during the summer months, when obviously the days are longer, we do just that. We stay mobile, and where the crowd moves, we move along with the crowd.
But don't, Chief, and I said this yesterday, tell me if I'm wrong, downtown is different, though.
It is.
It's different, and we have to treasure downtown and protect it, because as Cedric Glover said, you know, as downtown goes, so goes our city.
It's a beautiful spot. It's probably the origin of Shreveport. We have to protect it, preserve it as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the plan for this weekend? Any changes? Anything new?
Absolutely. We are meeting at 9 o'clock this morning, as soon as I leave here, with command staff to go over our plan last weekend and to improve on it for this upcoming weekend with additional strategic locations, more specific assignments. So we'll be working on that at 9 o'clock this morning.
Now you said y'all on that Friday on Halloween night. One of the reasons the police were down, you were dealing with a lady that was unconscious in the street. What was that situation, and how is she today?
She was found by police officers that was in that block. I believe just a lady laying in the middle of Texas Street at Market Street that was unconscious. So the fire department was called, and obviously...
Was she attacked? Did she just pass out drunk? I mean, what happened?
I'm not sure. All we know that there was a human being laying in the
street.
So obviously that's where our attention was focused on her, because mm-hmm. that's where the situation appeared to be. In policing, we have to serve two roles. We have to be reactive and proactive. We're proactive when time prevents itself to prevent anything from happening, but we have to be reactive to whatever has occurred that's in front of us right now.
One more thing, let's clear up, because Captain Daly was in here last week, and we talked about the we talked about the open container laws for downtown. Can I bring my own alcohol down there and walk around with it, drinking it up from my cup? That's not legal, is it?
Drinking in public is not legal like that.
Right? If I buy a drink from one of the establishments, I can then walk around in that Red River District with that alcohol.
That is correct.
But if I didn't buy it from one of those establishments, can't bring it in.
No.
Cannot have it in my purse, cannot even bring it into the area.
That's correct.
And that's the law for all around the city, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Some movement took place some time ago to help us better identify alcohol that had been purchased from the buildings, either with people having wristbands or a particular color cup. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened to that conversation, but now it would be difficult to tell, even mm-hmm. down in the Red River District, whether you purchased your stuff from one of the establishments or not. Mm-hmm.
Chief, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Anytime.
Go get some rest.
Can't do it. Too much
yet.
To do.
There goes his eight phones. They're blowing up again.
Yeah. 9 o'clock. We're talking about this upcoming weekend. And I encourage people to come out, be safe, enjoy our downtown and activity. Have a great time.
Mm-hmm. Be respectful and be kind.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Chief Wayne Smith in studio. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport political analyst Scott Hughes breaks down Tuesday night's election. What does it mean? Find out right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
With more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Oh, wait a minute. I wanted to start off by going, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Oh, deep, dark depression.
What? What drugs are you on?
Oh, you don't want to know. Scott Hughes joining us from... Scott, you're in Baton Rouge?
Or on the set of Hee Haw. I'm not sure what's going on.
Thank you for getting the reference.
Okay, I missed it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in Baton Rouge today. I'm actually parked looking at the state capitol, one of the most beautiful buildings in the country, and a great setting to talk about politics.
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Absolutely. Very nice of you to drive all the way down there just to talk to us about last night's election. But look, there's people that are probably panicking right now. Did not go well if you're a Republican. Democrats are going to claim it was a stellar night.
Well, it all depends on your perspective. So I'll give you two different versions of it. Politics 101, fairly simple look at last night. Not much there. These are all blue states. What did you expect? You're going to elect Democratic governors and a mayor of New York in
that's
Democratic
exactly
states.
What I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And that's politics 101. Now, if you want to go politics 400 and go a little deeper, yeah, you should probably be panicked. It may be the canary in the coal mine. Let's break down those real quick. In New Jersey, the Republican candidate did worse than they've ever done. The margin opened up in New Jersey, which probably means when we look at the post-election analysis, Republicans lost a very important voter block, Hispanics. That's what you were watching in New Jersey. In Virginia, not only did Republicans win Virginia, which is not surprising, they won all the statewide offices, including dragging across the finish line a very controversial attorney general candidate. They swept the board. But look deeper in Virginia. Democrats picked up 13 seats in the Virginia legislature, and now they hold a supermajority in the Virginia legislature. Every county in Virginia moved blue at least 4 or 5 points to the left.
Scott, one other thing I want to mention, too, that is astonishing is the turnout. Did I see that there were 2 million voters in New York City, the highest number in 40 years?
Correct. I was just going to mention, New York's New York. And so I'm not going to sit here and defend in New York except to say 2 things. Number one, the most electable candidate got elected. Mm-hmm. Whether people want to say he's a communist, he's this, he's a socialist, he was the most electable candidate. He won the race that matters, the Democratic primary, closed primaries. Closed primaries can be dangerous. We see why here in New York. But the real key in New York is what you said, Aaron. It wasn't that Mondani won. That's not a surprise. The surprise is over 2 million people voted. They haven't had that many votes since 1969.
Wow.
And it was, so it's the energy. It's the who came out to vote. Again, politics 400. That's dangerous if you're a Republican. That's energy on the Democratic side. Let me give you 3 more, that, and then we'll talk about California, that people may not have noticed. People are going, oh, that's just blue states, Scott. No, there were some that some of us were watching deeply. In Georgia, Democrats won 2 statewide public service commission seats. First time in 2 decades, Democrats have been elected on the state public service commission. Mm. That's Georgia. In Pennsylvania, the legislature was trying to rub out 3 Democratic Supreme Court judges. They passed some legislation. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of it, to term limit them out, et cetera. Well, there was a ballot initiative to allow the 3 current justices to stay on the court. That won. Pennsylvania voters 2-1, 66-33, said we're going to keep these 3 Democratic Supreme Court justices. And then maybe the most stunning, and no one's going to really have noticed it, over in Mississippi, very red Mississippi, there were 3 state Senate seats that flipped, including beating some Republicans in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. And now, don't get me wrong, the Republicans still have a majority in the Mississippi legislature, but this broke the supermajority in the Mississippi legislature.
Okay.
So this wasn't just a good day for Democrats. This was an alarming surge that may be happening underneath. And then we have California.
Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But let me ask you this, which everybody is warning about. In the spring, when we have our elections, our midterms, and we have Senator Cassidy, you know, trying to hold on to his seat, there are other congressional races up for grabs. Does Mike Johnson, does Donald Trump, are alarm bells going off for them because of this surge of voters and the possible wave?
Well, I'm going to go to Politics 400 on this one and say yes. All you had to see last night to know where the damage really is hitting home was really the one post or tweet that Donald Trump put out last night, where he basically said, this happened because I am not on the ballot, meaning Mr. Trump, President Trump, and because of the shutdown, the Republican shutdown. And so, now again, people are going to scream at me, but that's what the president posted last night. That was his way of explaining what took place, that this happened because he wasn't on the ballot, and that because the Congress is shut down, thus saying the Republicans are taking the hit for that. And what's important to note, looking downstream, is the president will never be on the ballot again unless he runs for senator in Florida or somewhere, but he will not be on the ballot next spring at the midterms. And I think we all know in the midterms, the party not in power always tends to have a structural advantage. That's just the way Americans vote. But this is starting to look like they may have a deeply rooted voter angst out there that will come back. I saw one pundit last night say that what you may have seen last night is, and this is a high-level comment, everybody understands it, is what you may have seen last night is Republicans may not have shifted the electorate to the right. They may have rented the electorate in 2024. We saw a lot of those voter bases come back to the Democratic side last night. Now, we'll see what happens next year. It's a year away, and anything can change in a year in politics.
Now, go back to California in Prop 50.
California Prop 50, no surprise. I think, Aaron, I think I texted you yesterday when you asked me to come on. I always like to give you my predictions and my percentages. And I think I hit the percentage almost on the nail that California was going to win. What's amazing in California is it's a lot of finger pointing, because many of us that watched this did not think there was a problem in passing Prop 50. It was the number we were looking for, and it went over 60%, which again shows that there wasn't much opposition. The people in California wanted to do the five seats. And I know we're going to hear the term gerrymandering, but it's hard to say it's gerrymandering when the people voted to do it. Other states, Texas started this by not giving the people the vote. Their legislature just redrew the districts, which is the law. Legislatures can draw those districts. But in California, you now have the, you have the zing to Texas's, you know, zang. You have the zigzag. You have the reaction. And so California is going to block Texas. But what I would watch for, and what a lot of analysts now will look at, is California could show a danger to what the Republicans are doing to redistricting. Because a lot of the redistricting, let's take Texas, a lot of that redistricting is built upon the premise that they will hold the 24 voting block, particularly Hispanics in Texas. If they lose Hispanics, like they did up in New Jersey, then that redistricting in Texas could turn out to be a disaster. It could turn out to not gain them five new seats. It could turn out losing them seats in a purplish state. Texas is not a deep red state. It's purplish. Oklahoma is a deep red state. Arkansas state is purplish. And if they start playing the numbers too close, they could risk losing seats, not gaining them.
Yeah,
the Democrats
will
gain five seats in California.
When you factor in Dallas and how liberal Dallas is, and of course we know Austin and that area, I see there's some purple in there.
Definitely.
Yeah, the problem when you start stretching districts, I'll go there. When you start stretching districts to try to make your voter block go farther, yes, you gained a new district you have a chance in, but you've also weakened the other district you pulled those voters from. And if you do, and if you don't hold your voter base, which in Texas is going to be Hispanic voters, it's going to be moderate Republicans. If you don't hold that base, you could be in trouble. But overall, a very good night. No way to look at it otherwise for the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Concerning. I'm not going to sing the hee-haw song, Mike.
Oh.
But it is concerning. I think a lot of Republicans, consultants will go to work. The golden ticket for the Republicans is the Mondani election. I think they're going to try to make the mayor of New York the face of the party. They're going to try to point out that this is the new party. I don't think Mondani is as much the face of the party. Gavin Newsom's probably going to become that now with the California result.
Okay.
But they will try to peg that on the Democrats.
Mike Johnson calls you today. Are his days as Speaker of the House numbered? What do you tell him if he asks you that?
Well, I would tell him what I would have told him a year ago. I think his days as Speaker were numbered a year ago when they barely won the House by a couple of votes. Because I know history. I know the midterms were already a wave potentially against the party in power. When you only have a 1-5 vote margin, depending on the day of the week, yes, I would have thought it was already in jeopardy. After last night, I think it's going to be very – I'm not saying they can't hold the House, but it's going to be very difficult. After last night, Democratic strategists will start looking at the Senate. It was that big of a wave that if they can move the if the American people move the voting block to the left a little bit, which seems like what they've done, then that's going to put the Senate in play, where most people like me have said the Senate was safe for Republicans next fall. There may be some chances for the Democrats now in the Senate. I think they still hold the Senate, but the House is likely going to shift now.
Scott Hughes, thank you so much. I know you're busy this morning. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about this.
Anytime, guys. Appreciate the show and appreciate the downtown conversation. Hopefully that's something we can work on locally. All politics is local, and that's the most important issue in Shreveport, is our safety.
I agree.
And we'll be talking more about that coming up after 8 with Chief Wayne Smith in studio to talk to us about what's
on. Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, there's already reports that are saying, you know, Mondani not going to be able to provide all the free schnizzle that he's promised.
There's no way.
Come on.
There's no way. You seen in New Orleans what's going on now? They're going to the bond commission to take a loan to meet payroll.
Right.
Seriously. Just wait to see what happens in New York. It's going to be a disaster.
Okay. Free health care. I mean, free child care for your children. Okay. You've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get free child care.
Yay.
So now you're going to turn your 3-year-old and your 5-year-old over to the state because the state is going to now have to find the cheapest child care they can find because they're not going to go to the nice ones.
Guess what the quality of those workers will be?
Yeah, that you're not turning your children over to because you get free child care.
I just don't understand it. And someone, an expert in this, told me one time, if there's any way, married couples, if one of you can stay home when your children are little, or if you can afford in-home care when your children are little, do whatever you have to do to make that happen.
See, we were blessed. We had in-home care.
Me as well.
With even friends that it was just awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, blessing is it. We had the means to do that.
Right.
But there are lots of folks that can't. But think about just turning your child over to the lowest common denominator among us.
Right.
Who's not gonna, I mean, there are exceptions, don't get me wrong, that do care and love the children and all that. But for most of them, it's a job, and it's a very low-paying job, which is so sad to me. You're caring for our most precious gift.
Ruben can probably attest. How many times have we seen mugshots of elder abuse, the nursing home workers that abuse the elderly?
Yes.
Well, the same thing goes on with daycares. Because,
So
can you imagine a state-run daycare?
Yeah, and that won't be the one with all the cameras where you can peer in on it. You can almost bet.
Not.
It won't have all that extra stuff.
Or the state-run grocery store?
Jeez, that's just unreal to me.
You talk about going in not having a choice, not having a selection.
Yeah.
What? I don't understand.
No, I don't either.
I don't understand people that have fallen for this.
Yeah.
And it's not free.
No.
That crap service. Someone.
Mm-hmm.
How about you and me?
Absolutely.
And Ruben and Chica and the working people are paying for it. It's not free.
No, it's not. It is not.
Let's tax the rich. Okay, how does that work out? Let's tax corporations. Do you think corporations are going to absorb that? No. Now you've raised prices in New York because you've taxed the corporation. They're passing that along.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just goes on and on.
I want to talk about chickens when we come back.
I love chickens.
Don't need to talk about sex of chickens, Ruben. I'm good with that now. I got that. I know all about
that. Is it a flock? What is it? I don't know. Hey, there's some fog.
Something
be
about
careful.
A coacula, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll talk chicken sex ed after the news. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Sorry, I had a few chickens at the rescue from Bossier.
We're such a highbrow outfit up in here. Highbrow all day, all the time. Yeah.
That's what
chickens.
You won't be hearing in the city limits of Bossier City.
No, you will not.
According to the recent vote by the city of Bossier City, City Council.
It wasn't unanimous, though. It was, there were two council members that voted for chicken coops and to let folks have chicken coops in their backyard. I think the proposal was up to four hens only, which a hen is a girl. I know that now. Thank you, Ruben. Ruben is my chicken sex ed guru. And a rooster also a chicken?
Yes, a rooster is a chicken.
So a hen is a chicken and
all
a rooster is a chicken.
All roosters are chickens, not all chickens are roosters.
Okay. If they have the little red crowny thing on the top.
If they're male, they're roosters.
Does that make them a rooster? Because I'm seeing chickens with little red thingies on the top.
No, they don't necessarily. Yeah, the hens have
they have the thingies
crowns,
too, little crown
whatever
thingies.
Those are called.
Okay. Well, the problem is, A, the noise, B, the smell, and see that the chicken coops attract predators, you know, raccoons and possums that want to go get the chickens and get the eggs. But the rules were pretty clear. You had to have a hen house that had a cover.
Right.
But, you know, raccoons, dang, man, they can take a brick off the top of my garbage can and go, I can move that brick, girl. You ain't getting me on that one. I'll move that brick and I'm getting in there because you threw a ham bone in there.
They look down and there's another coon on the ground going, Larry, move. I'm going to knock this brick off this trash can.
Exactly. So we understand that. But there are a lot of residents, and this became a debate back in 2022. I think the council went through this debate.
I remember. Yes.
Because of the high price of eggs. A lot of folks were saying, I want to raise my own chickens. And you and I bought farm eggs that are the prices were way better and the eggs are way better, to be quite blunt.
I think so. And they last longer out of the fridge.
Absolutely. But the concerns from the council members, and I was looking at the council meeting this week, and they said, you know, many of them said, hey, I polled my constituents and they're not in favor of it because of those possible concerns. The smell, the noise, and attracting critters was the key thing. Because we know, I know, because I'm a chicken smarty.
You're a chicken, yes.
Hens don't cock-a-doodle-doo.
Right.
They're not the ones that make all the noise.
Crow's
the word. Yeah, I was going to use the word, but I'm acting dumb. But, yeah, and this would not allow roosters. This would only allow hens.
Right.
And the hens are the ones that lay the eggs. I can't understand how having no roosters in there, you still have eggs. But that's a whole nother day. We've been through this topic before.
Because they are allowed in Shreveport city limits.
They are. Up to six?
Up to four. Homeowners can have up to four chickens on a property of at least 10,000 square feet, but roosters are not permitted.
Okay, I was looking at the ordinance that says six.
AI overview.
AI.
Here's the ordinance. You're right. Up to six hens per lot are allowed.
And I think you have to have so many square foot for each hen in your chicken coop. And you have to have a covering over it.
Right, and they have to be protected from predators.
You bet, absolutely. And I know a lot of people in Shreveport that have chicken coops in their backyard.
I know some that have chicken coops, but not in city limits.
Right. I know some in the city limits.
Yeah.
I definitely know a few in the city limits. Mm-hmm.
And do you have any close to you?
The closest one I know of is in South Shreveport.
Okay. Yeah, I have a friend who has them in South Shreveport, University Terrace. And I'm just wondering if the neighbors think it's a problem. I mean, is the smell really bad? I don't know.
That's what I'm wondering, because now that you say that, I have heard, I think somebody has chickens on the block away from me, one block away, because I have heard some.
But a friend of mine has chickens in her yard, but she keeps it clean. She goes out there and cleans up, you know, on a pretty regular basis. And takes care of the chickens, and they're clean.
If you have, three or four, it's not really an issue.
Right.
It's no more of an issue than having a couple of dogs, you know. But if you have upwards of 10, then it starts becoming a problem.
But, of course, according to the city ordinance, you can't have more than six.
All right. There you go.
Well, that's the problem.
I don't think it would bother me if my next-door neighbor had chickens, if they kept them.
And brought you eggs every now and then,
Absolutely.
Free eggs are nice.
But I don't, that sound that we were just, that wouldn't bother me. Now, it might drive my dogs nuts.
But what if you could smell it, if you're sitting out on your porch, and you could smell nasty chicken coop with their coop poop?
Right. Mm-hmm. It's funny because the farm smells don't bother me. When we had our fall festival at church last week, they had a petting area, if you will. And they had some horses out there and pens and stuff. And I thought, and we were walking up, and I said, I love that smell. You know, I don't know. It's just
all right.
That doesn't now chicken poop. That might be a little different.
Yeah.
That might be a little more pungent, if you will.
Yeah.
I raised pigs, so chickens is nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
You go in the Webster Parish 4-H pig barn at the fairgrounds. You're nose blind to pretty much anything else.
Now, I remember as a kid, we lived in South Bossier. And at that time, I don't think we were in the city limits. We may have been.
Okay.
We may have been. But this, I'm talking 60s.
Right, right.
And I remember hearing a ruckus outside my bedroom.
Uh-oh.
And my bedroom faced the neighbor, and she had chickens. This she was wringing their necks. Obviously, that scarred me.
No.
I was not ready for that as an 8, 9, 10-year-old.
No.
To watch her sling
those. I don't
those
need to see that visual. Stop
to country folks, that's ringing the dinner bell.
That's exactly right. She was getting ready for supper.
Yikes.
But I wasn't ready for it.
The only two council members, by the way, that voted for the chickens in Bossier were Chris Smith and Brian Hammonds. And it was interesting to see the debate. It was interesting to watch. I'll be putting some more of it
Has there been a big push by residents going, we want chickens?
There are some residents that came out and said, hey, this is done all around the country. It's done next to our neighbors next door in Shreveport. It's time we get with the program and allow this.
It's time we go
nuisance.
Back to the 19th century. I mean, come on.
No form of Gallus domesticus allowed in Bossier. I had to look that up, by the way, the scientific name for chickens.
Yeah.
And the first thing I searched was chicken category.
Okay.
And the second thing on Google was chicken category recipe.
Oh, man. Wow.
They don't know how to spell cacciatore.
Oh, they don't know how to spell cacciatore. Where can I get good chicken cacciatore in town? That's a great idea.
I don't know. I want to know where the chicken category is.
Yeah,
that's what I
want. Yeah. Who's cooking that up?
Chicken category.
I don't think that's at Olive Garden. Don't think so. Right,
Ruben, let's close out with this.
Chicken music.
See, that's kind of pleasant.
What a highbrow show we are. Chicken sex.
At least we didn't talk about cloacas.
No, we did not. Thank you.
Yeah, glad we didn't bring that up. 101.7. I just snorted. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, this is Thursday. I'm going to have to do some research.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney and YouTube TV are still in contract negotiations.
Okay.
So no Disney products are being carried on YouTube TV, including...
Which is what you have.
ESPN.
Right.
ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Et cetera.
But can you watch like KTBS, the local
That's
ABC
what I'm
affiliate?
Wondering. If you watch the local broadcast channels... Or do you have to have an antenna
to get them
to get it
to not get it through YouTube?
Because if I'm the LSU game is going to be on ABC, right? Boy. Not ESPN this weekend.
Right, it's
we're
an
on
ABC,
ABC game, mm-hmm. Which is I think a night game.
Yep.
Are we there or home?
We're there.
Okay. So I have an ESPN Plus subscription.
Okay.
So I think I can pull that up on my phone and cast it to my TV.
That's the way you're going to probably have to do it if you can't. But somebody who knows if you can get KTBS through YouTube still.
Can we still get KTBS?
I don't know.
If it's not on ESPN, if it's on ABC, I don't know that I'll be able to do that if it's not on ESPN.
Why do they always have these feuds during football season?
Well, because there's your leverage.
Yeah, exactly.
There's
football fans are screaming.
Right.
I mean, imagine if these two teams were undefeated and Saturday night comes and you realize you
this
can't
game
get the
actually
game.
Meant something.
Ooh-wee. I would not want to man those phones at KTBS if I was them.
It's not their fault.
Well, I know, but that's who you guess who you call.
It's not any local affiliate's
fault. Guess who you would call
them. Well, sure, that's your first contact.
They would be inundated with haterade all over social media.
I need to find out.
Yes,
if,
you do.
If somebody knows,
mm-hmm.
if KTBS is, if you can still watch it on YouTube, because I'm not sure.
And it's a Disney feud with YouTube.
Right.
One side wants more money, one side wants less money.
KTBS is a locally owned affiliate. It's not an ABC-owned property.
Right.
It's an ABC affiliate, but it's locally owned.
I bet they have an agreement, you know, when they're showing ABC product about what they can and can't show when they have contract disputes, though. I bet they have to fall under those contract disputes.
Right,
I don't know.
I'm speaking
out of turn. But if you've got another alternative to watch the game, I'd start exploring that, too.
Right.
I got a couple of sofas, $50 a pop. You can come watch it at my place.
I had an antenna on my house at one point.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I had DirecTV, like the satellites, I put an antenna up to be able to get local channels if something happened like this and be able to watch local, like the games.
Right. I feel so bad about LSU now that I'm not even motivated to do sausage balls. I'm like, whatever. And watch us go out and win this game.
Right.
You know, watch us go out and beat Alabama.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'll definitely watch the game. I'll find a way to watch it. If I were on YouTube, I would find a way to watch it.
Right.
If I have to go to a restaurant or something and watch it with the big crowd, I'd be doing that.
I don't want to do that, though. I hate doing that. And then you're taking up a table
just to watch
the game. That's not right.
Well, you'll order some food. I mean, you're not going to sit there and...
3 hours. They make their money turning the tables. Now, sports bar, that's different. That's different.
That's kind of what they're for, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could go sit at the bar, at a sports bar, and just drink water and maybe order a beer or two every now and then. And
they love you for that,
yeah,
won't they?
I'm sure they will, yeah.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, I'm looking at my YouTube TV on my phone, which, by the way, still blows my mind. I can sit here and watch television on my phone. I'm still amazed and impressed at technology today. I don't take it for granted. But I don't see ABC at all. I don't see KTBS. I have CBS. I have Fox. I have NBC, the locals.
Mm-hmm.
PBS. PBS Kids. Telemundo. Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
I have NFL Network.
You're in trouble. You're going to have to get it through ESPN Plus.
But
you got to make sure it's going to be...
But if it's on ABC and not ESPN, is ESPN going to be carrying it?
Ooh.
If it's on ABC.
But ESPN Plus, don't they kind of have a full slate? You can kind of pick and choose you want to watch?
I'm going to look and see.
I'm not sure. You're going to have to double check that. You're going to have to poach.
They better get their schnizzle together.
You're going to have to make a casserole and bring it to a friend's house, I'm afraid. I'm afraid you're cooking something and bringing it to a buddy's house to watch the game.
I just opened my ESPN app, and there's a game playing right now, a basketball game.
But if you're like me, if you were to go to another person's house to watch the game, I'm really not allowed. My friends have already said, you're not allowed to come watch a game with us.
No, I'm the same way.
But if this game is meaningless now, kind of, aren't you a little bit chiller? Because I know I am. I'm a little bit chiller.
Well,
now.
You tone it down.
Yeah.
And honestly, I'm not like I was years ago.
Oh, really?
I'm not. Yeah.
Oh,
now I'm still kind of fired up with LSU.
I'm not allowed.
I remember,
yeah.
I had a nephew. I remember my niece said her husband goes, we don't want to go to Uncle Mike's.
Yeah.
He gets too wound up with
mm-hmm.
the game. We don't want to watch the game with Uncle Mike.
He's crazy.
So
unless you're in another room.
At this point, I don't know. Does age bring some sort of wisdom? Because I do get frustrated still, especially with LSU,
mm-hmm.
because I still care.
Yeah.
But with the Saints, I hate that I don't care anymore.
Right, exactly.
I just
mm-hmm.
I just am not as fired up as I used to be.
Yeah. When we come back,
it's not because they're losing, because it's just the whole NFL thing.
Frustrating.
It's lost its luster.
Is Shreveport way better off than Baton Rouge and New Orleans? I got an interesting text this morning.
This is a great perspective, actually.
And Scott Hughes is going to join us to tell me about what he just sent me in a text, which I sat back and I went, wow, he's got a great point.
That's coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Well, I actually like this. I appreciate this. I appreciate this perspective.
I don't understand how I never thought of this. This is great. In the newscast, perhaps this morning, you have heard me say, New Orleans is having trouble making payroll. They're now going to the State Bond Commission to ask for a $125 million loan to meet payroll for their 5,000 workers.
Are they not getting tax revenue? Has the exodus from the city...
No, it's not that. It's that they have such a deficit.
Okay.
They have such a deficit. They've been overspending what they bring in. And now with LaToya on the way out, nobody's really been paying attention. And now it's ballooned to, I'm not going to give you the figure because I'll have it out of mm-hmm, whack, but it's right. a big amount.
Okay.
Where you may not be able to make payroll at the end of November or the middle of December. How crazy is that? You got 5,000
workers. It's inexcusable
workers.
Is what it is.
And now...
How has nobody been keeping up with this?
I know. Well, who's in charge? And where's she been lately? Overseas. Baton Rouge facing layoffs of as many as 400 workers due to shrinking budgets. The big problem is the St. George, the city of St. George. When they annexed, they created their own city. Guess what? The tax revenues from that home, that base, which is in high-dollar homes.
Outside of Baton Rouge.
Yep, just
right,
outside.
Right.
It was in the city limits. Now
right.
it's no longer. They're
right.
their own city. So they get to keep their tax revenues.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't go to Baton Rouge anymore.
But they also have to provide services.
They now
they
absolutely
have to, they
do.
Have to hire police officers
mm-hmm.
and water infrastructure and city maintenance, city streets maintenance.
That's the problem, because think about it, and we got to get to Scott. But and Scott said, and Shreveport's worried about a few idiots fighting at 2 a.m. in the morning. Scott, our problems aren't nearly as big as what New Orleans and Baton Rouge are facing, huh?
No, and I certainly don't want to throw light on other problems that Shreveport has. There are issues, infrastructure, et cetera. But when I was listening to your update, I'm back in town, and I didn't mean to be on the radio this morning, and I just texted you. If you step back one step and get out of what's happening here at our
right.
city council, what we're looking at, and you look at a high picture, and I was in Baton Rouge yesterday, so I'm well aware of the Thrive Baton Rouge EBR vote that's coming up. I was at a meeting where the New Orleans financial situation is having a devastating effect, because that's just the city, and we're dealing with the New Orleans Water and Sewer Board, which is a separate issue that's also in trouble down there. And all of a sudden I realized we're the third largest city in Louisiana, and we're not having problems making payroll. We're not looking at laying 400 people off. Yes, we need police officers. Yes, we're talking about some silliness at 2 in the morning. That is a concern, and we should take care of. But all of a sudden, our problems may not be as big as these other cities that we always think of as doing just great. They're not doing great, and maybe Shreveport's doing a little better structurally and at the big picture level than we give it credit for.
We Mayor, don't think about that, yeah.
Mayor Arsenault's texting you right now going, thank you.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I haven't talked to either Tom about this, you know, Tom Arsenault or Tom Dark. You know, the Tom's kind of run our city, do a great job, but... It was just perspective. I travel, and you and I have talked, Aaron, a lot, and And Mike, I know you travel. When you travel, you often get out of your city. You get to get a different perspective.
Right.
And sometimes
right.
you realize that what we all politics are local. I think I said that when I was on the show yesterday. All politics are local. Sometimes you get so caught up in what the politic of the day is in your neighborhood, and it's chickens today in Bossier City. Think about that. Bossier City has always been well-run financially, roads, et cetera. So when we have a problem in Bossier City, we're fighting a minutia problem.
We do have to think, though, what Baton Rouge is going through. We know there have been rumblings of the same thing
right.
for our city with the Ellerby Road folks.
Ellerby Road, that's right.
Our leaders need to know if the Ellerby Road folks ever get real serious about that, you're looking at financial disaster for Shreveport.
I would ask yes and no. But I mean, again, the purpose wasn't to talk about de-annexation. That's what happened in Baton Rouge. They de-annexed a part of town called St. George's.
Mm-hmm.
And people here in our local area have talked about de-annexing part of Shreveport, southeast Shreveport, deep southeast Shreveport, way down on Ellerby Road,
mm-hmm.
Often called forbing is what they refer to the movement as sometimes. The big difference I would suggest is many would look at Shreveport and say it costs us money to go out and chase that development. Now, obviously, we get tax revenue. There's nice homes out there. But we also had to provide fire and police. We have to provide water and sewer. We're having to constantly provide new infrastructure that far out, which many would argue and some in the planning community would say it didn't return its return on investment. Yes, you got the tax dollars, but you spend more in extending the city footprint out there. Baton Rouge is a little different. When they de-annex St. George, if you're not familiar with Baton Rouge, St. George is the area basically in and around the Mall of Americas right. and South.
Mm-hmm.
And so they de-annex would be our equivalent of Burt Coons, our equivalent of the Auto Mall, all of the heavy dollar sales areas. So when St. George left, they took out a huge part of what's the EBR economy, and they didn't have much land that they had to do infrastructure in, and they left EBR, the now remaining city, East Baton Rouge. Remember, the mayor there is a mayor president.
Right.
So they do have the mayor, the council, the parish mayor, city form of government. And so St. George formed as a separate city. And when they did that, they took a huge amount of tax revenue and they left the city of Baton Rouge with all these long-term debts and now no way to pay them. And it could be 400 persons laid off. That was the headlines yesterday in Baton Rouge.
I got a text for you, Scott, that's not great, but it's probably accurate for some. With regard to our problems pale in comparison to Baton Rouge and New Orleans, someone texted me and said, that's just called spin. Our problems are real. How do you respond?
Well, I think that comment's correct. Our problems are real. And I'm not trying to spin anything. And certainly I'm not here to defend Shreveport. We could spend an hour going over, quote, Shreveport's problems. But what I was pointing out, I guess the comment I made, was if you step back a step, and you try to get out of spin and you look at actual real numbers. New Orleans can't make payroll. Shreveport's having no problems making payroll. Baton Rouge is going to lay off 400 workers. And don't get me wrong, they have problems in police. They have problems in streets. They have crime every day. They had shootings at the LSU game 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have all those other problems we have, but they have these larger problems, these structural deep problems that Shreveport doesn't have. Shreveport has a list of problems we could spend six shows working on
sure.
if we wanted to nitpick. My comment was, at a high level, Shreveport is making budget. I think Shreveport, the council, the mayor, generally are keeping us within budget, on track. We have problems. We have water and sewer. We are short police officers. We can go down that list. I'm not trying to spin anything. I'm simply trying to say, sometimes you need to look at it from a bigger perspective and say, we don't have those problems.
Okay.
And that's all I was trying to say. I'm not attempting to defend
And I think
person.
That's I think that's a very valid point. We get the old adage, you can't see the forest because of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
We're mired in the trees and we're not putting the right perspective on it. It's not.
And that's a great way to say it, Mike. I will certainly admit with the texter, with the listener, yes, Shreveport has some trees that need attention. Some need pruning, some need removal. But we have a forest that maybe not as dying as we think that it is.
Right.
And the truth is, if we could maintain and do some maintenance in that forest, we may be in better shape than many of these other cities. Because even if New Orleans is successful at the State Bond Commission,
they're going to have to pay back $125 million. They're borrowing it.
Yeah.
Even if Baton Rouge is successful in this, if they're successful in their vote for Thrive EBR and they avoid laying off 400 employees, that means they pretty much agreed to wipe out their library system, their council of aging, and their mosquito abatement control problem. Mm. That's what they're going to do. They're going to consolidate monies from other areas. Shreveport's not making those. We're actually being, in my opinion, progressive, trying to look at how do we improve crime downtown, how do we improve blight, and how do we move towards development. And there are some good things out there. We'll wait, and hopefully they all come to fruition. That was just my comment. I heard your comment. I didn't mean to interrupt the show, but it just put.
No, it's a good perspective, Scott.
It is.
We got to get chickens in Bossier.
Yeah.
Doggone it.
And I'm not normally known as the very optimistic one, so I just thought I'd share that topic.
Well, funny you say that.
By the way, I'm getting messages from SPD folks this morning that we're about to prune some of those trees from the downtown fight. We'll have that hopefully later today.
And I bet you wouldn't get it.
Well needed.
Mm-hmm. I bet you wouldn't get a huge argument from Shreveport Police Chief Wayne Smith going, "I don't have to patrol way out there in Ellerbe anymore."
Yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
Probably wouldn't argue too hard. Yeah. Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all for what y'all do.
You bet.
Have a good morning. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
You get a lot of texts.
I do.
I get enough. Mm-hmm. Yep. I get a fair amount of texts. And it's not all critical.
Mm-hmm.
That was very interesting from Scott. But I had somebody text me. They found a cookbook from KWKH from 1962.
Wow!
In a box of stuff that they're moving, and so
wow,
and it's pretty cool. But
that is cool.
So I'm thinking, and then I've got texts from like a buddy texted me last night about, "Hey, I'm looking for a recording." But okay, how long do you hold on to texts? How long do you keep them in your phone? Do you go through and delete?
I have it on auto delete.
Really?
I think it's a week. I think I keep texts a
week. Oh wow!
And then they go away. I regret that for some people. And I don't know can you customize it for some people, like for my children?
I don't know. I've never turned. I mean, I'm scrolling down. I have texts, Aaron, from people who've passed away.
Oh, wow.
People in my life who've passed away.
Yeah, mine go back. I'm looking now. Mine go back to like October 8th. So I must have like a month or 2 month thing on here.
Oh, I'm still scrolling. I'm at 2019 and I'm still scrolling.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, mine go away. And I wish, because it's like, oh, I know my son gave me the password for, you know, our Hulu account or whatever. Let me go scroll and find it. And I look back and it's gone. So, I have to text him again. And he's like, Mom, I told you that 3 months ago. Here it is. Because we share accounts. Some of them, we share accounts. I shouldn't say that on the air, should I? No, that's legal. Can't you share one or two? I mean, he's in the military.
We're at this o'clock.
We got to go. We're going to talk about, would you pay a voluntary fee to beef up police in Shreveport?
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport City Council member Grayson Butcher joining us. Grayson, good morning.
Hey, good morning to y'all.
Thank you for jumping on here last minute with us. We appreciate
it. Sure, no problem.
Your post has been removed.
I was just going to say, she said, check Grayson's post. I don't see it.
You have proposed a voluntary fee for residents if they want to help to support the police department. You took a little heat, I'm sure, huh?
No, actually, I didn't. The reason I removed it is it gets, once the things start to grab legs, it gets to a point where I can't answer everybody and I feel kind of bad about it. So I told myself whenever I came up with this, or, you know, really that kind of popped into my mind with everything that's going on. And, you know, I've always been somewhat open to some type of fee on the water bill, but I don't want to make it mandatory. You know, I've always, and I've also been a little bit reluctant to even go out there because I want the citizens to vote. I somewhat think when you put fees on water bills without people being able to vote, it's taxation without representation. So I've always been, but it would generate a tremendous amount of money for public safety if we were able to do that. I mean, I run the numbers.
Let's go over the numbers. What kind of fee were you talking about, and what percentage were you hoping might actually do it?
Well, you know, I figured $10 to $20 a month. It would be a scale people could choose. They could opt in to do it for a year for their, you know, for budgeting purposes for us. And, you know, you opt in to do it for a year, $10 a month, $20 a month, $15 a month, but, you know, have some increments there. So even if you went on the low end, we have about 62,000 to 63,000water billing customers in the city of Shreveport, both business and residential. And if you did it, you know, if you got half of that, I mean, I think you probably would get a third, but let's just figure a half because it's easier. You're looking at a little bit over $3 million.
Mm-hmm. And your proposal would be to use that money for what? More officers? What is
because that wouldn't be a recurring fund. You couldn't.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So this is what you would do. If we knew, let's say we start this campaign, I don't know. I mean, realistically, in a world that's perfect, you would do it. You'd start campaigning for it maybe in the summer, and then you'd know by the time budget season came how many people had pledged to do it. And then you have to put in some percentages in there of people that may move out of town or may pass away or may get an illness that just has, you know. So you have to, you know, put a percentage in there, maybe 10%. I don't know. But anyway, you budget that amount. So what I would want to budget it for is, you know, and this is another thing. This is in the very preliminary stages. So, and also, I'm just trying to get the money. I want the police to be able to budget the way they need to budget for it. But having said that, my mind would be something like incentives for police officers. You know, something that's not recurring, but if you have an officer that has perfect attendance, maybe they get a $2,000 stipend. I don't want to call it a bonus because mm-hmm. you can't do that in civil service. You know, you give them that. You have maybe a physical fitness stipend that, you know, every quarter if they pass their age requirement of what it is, you know, to be a police officer, you get this much. The other thing is we could take it and put it towards uniforms. You know, right now our officers get $400 a year for uniforms, and you can only imagine that's not enough to even buy a pair of boots. Mm-hmm. You could also do it for maybe a one-time purchase of some vehicles for take-home cars. So there's things that you could do for that year because you pretty much know that you've got the money coming in. And then on the flip side of that, you know, we do have, you know, the mayor doesn't like me talking about this, but let's say we budget X amount of dollars and we don't collect it that year. We do have a little bit of wiggle room in our surplus if we need to fall back on that in our reserve fund. So, I mean, it's just an idea. I floated it. I've talked to a couple of members of the police department that are helping me come up with a more proactive kind of a plan, but we're in the very preliminary stages of this.
Okay. And Grayson, let me interrupt you. The mayor proposed a 2% fee on the water bill to pay for blight, and he got gut punched. He got punched in the nose. He got kicked in the teeth to the point where he withdrew it. Are you a little concerned?
But that wasn't voluntary.
It wasn't voluntary. I understand that completely.
Here's the thing. You know, the mayor did what he thought was right. I necessarily didn't agree with it. And the reason that I didn't agree with it, I think I told you on your show, is that I have proposed to two mayors some type of fee, even going out for a vote for a fee for police and fire raises. And I've been turned down every time. And then we pop up with a 2%. Fee for tearing down buildings of out-of-town landlords that we've allowed to get to this point. So, yes, I was against that. But having said that, the mayor did put it out there, and he went out on a limb and did it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I floated this on Facebook. But mine is a lot different because it's strictly voluntary, and I'm not wanting to budget off of it for recurring items.
Right.
So, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, the mayor had the courage to put that up there. He got the feedback from the citizens, and you know, in his defense, he pulled it off. Mm-hmm. And all I'm doing is asking questions. And you know, here's the thing. I want, you know, over the mayor and the majority of the council, other than Councilman Taliaferro, I have lived on a firefighter salary, and my wife has lived on a police officer salary. When my wife left law enforcement last year, her salary, I'm not gonna say it, but it was poverty level. If I didn't have a fairly decent business, we wouldn't have been able to make it. It barely paid the insurance.
Right.
So I know what these people are going through, and I know the stress, and I've seen my wife cry many, many tears over cases that she's working and not being here for things. And I know you call my daughter, who's now 28, ask her how many times I missed recitals and dance recitals and plays when she was in elementary school because I was at work at the fire station.
Right. Okay, so what are you going to do now with this? Are you going to propose an ordinance? Are you going to bring it before the council? Are you going to talk to them before you do that? What's the status?
What I would like to do is I'm working with a couple of people. I've got some business people in town that are interested in maybe helping us raise money to do a campaign to explain it. It won't be taxpayer dollars. It'll be all self-funded things that maybe my thought is, I've talked to one union president. I have not talked to the other one, is to get the unions involved if this is something they're interested in participating in, and letting them be the spokesman for this and get this out there. And then once we get a plan together, I'll bring it to the city council if there's enough support. If there's not, then I won't do it.
Talking with City Council Member Grayson Butcher. Grayson, can you hold with us? Because I want to switch gears, but we've got to take a break.
Okay, thank you.
We'll be back with City Council Member Grayson Butcher, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM. Grayson Butcher, 710 Keel.
Stories of the Day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Grayson, earlier this morning we were talking about New Orleans not being able to make payroll. Baton Rouge lost millions in tax revenue when St. George's de-annexed and became its own city.
And are laying off 400 workers.
And Baton Rouge is laying off workers now. And Scott Hughes made the point, look, Shreveport, we have our problems, but you know what? Being the third largest city in the state, we're doing okay. We're making payroll. We're not laying off 400 city workers. But it did bring up a question. There has been discussion about Ellerbe Road, the Forbing area, de-annexing from the city of Shreveport.
So let's back up just a second on that we are doing well. Yes, we are able to make payroll.
I'm not saying we're doing well. I'm saying our perspective might need to be a little different because we're doing better than some of the other areas.
But we have a lot of unfunded needs that we don't address. A lot of unfunded needs that we don't address. We have a huge consent decree hanging over our head. We have bonded ourselves to the hilt on the water bills, which is another reason that, you know, my fee may not be tasteful to people because we're already paying off bonds that actually went to fix nothing for the consent decree. So we've got that lingering behind us. We've got water issues that at some point we're going to have to say, look, we need a secondary water source for the city of Shreveport. We've got that hanging over our heads. So yeah, we are doing fairly well right now. We've got garbage. We need new garbage trucks right now. You know, our garbage trucks are.
Didn't we just get a bunch of them?
We did, but can you imagine running these things, you know, almost 12 hours a day, every day, and it's not an easy job that they have. Mm. So there's going to be a need for garbage trucks in the near future. You know, 8 years for me in the city council has flown by. So, you know, you've got to proactively start thinking about these things. And if you look that we've lost water billing customers in the last 4 or 5 years, we've lost revenue. Our sales tax is pretty stagnant, including, you know, with inflation. You would think with inflation, sales tax would go up, right? I mean, that's
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a simple math equation. It's not. It's stagnant. We have buildings that once were on the tax rolls that were bringing in ad valorem property taxes, like the Jolie apartments and all these other apartment buildings that are now worthless. So there are some real issues. They may not be hitting us right now, but if we don't become proactive and start making some changes and start planning for some things in the future, we're going to be in the same boat.
It's your district, Ellerby Road, the area that has all your district.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I wanted to bring this up.
If we were to de-annex that, where's the pile of money? Does Shreveport save a lot of money because of that? Or would we be in horrible shape because we would be losing a ton of money?
Okay, first off, it'll never happen. It'll never be able to be de-annexed. Even though, you know, in my mind, it's not a bad idea. There's two ways to de-annex out here. It's different than St. George because St. George was never in the city limits of Baton Rouge. So in order to de-annex our area, and trust me, I've looked at it, the first thing you have to do is you either have to get a vote of the entire city to let us out. That might happen, but I doubt it very seriously. Because we are pretty much a revenue cow down here for the city. I mean, we're bringing in the majority of the sales tax. I mean, mm-hmm. property tax and sales tax. So I doubt that the rest of the city, once they realize that and see what the economic impact to the city's budget's going to be, I don't think the rest of the city would let us get out. So that's number one. The other one is there's two ways. That's the first way: vote of the entire city, not just the area. And then the second way is for the city council. And I think my colleagues on the city council realize what Southeast Shreveport and what pretty much south of around Ockley and Piermont or in the South Highlands and south and Broadmoor, they do for the city of Shreveport. So I don't think it would ever happen. Having said all of that, you know, there's something that we need to consider out here as you know, we're talking about the future. I mean, I'm 54. I hope I've got 20 more years left, but, you know, in the future, our roads are starting to deteriorate. You know, the majority.
You're talking about in your district.
Right. A lot of people don't understand the majority of the roads out here are private, but there's a good number that are public roads. And what happens is, like in the Providence development, the developer comes in, he puts in brand new roads. The city's not paying for that. He puts in all the infrastructure, the water, the sewage, all that stuff, and then he donates those roads to the city. So as those areas start to deteriorate, we're going to have to come up with a plan to take care of it. You know, we've got more road miles in the city of Shreveport than they have in Detroit.
Yep.
You know, so those are all things. So yes, on a short-term basis, I don't see it good for the city, but on a long-term basis, you know, once the Piper comes calling for the things that are going on out here with sewer problems, water problems, street problems, which we're already starting to see, the area is going to start dragging down, you know, the city, the rest of the city, for sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting to watch what's going on in Baton Rouge. That's a big tax base that is now gone, and the city budget's struggling. I think you're right. I think we're headed for real, real financial troubles if we don't find some answers soon.
Well, and that's what the small little plan is. This voluntary plan would relieve us a little bit in our police budget.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows the people that really, you know, because one of the comments that I see all the time on Facebook, and, you know, it's 25% of it is positive and 25% of it's negative, and then the rest of it's somewhere in between. But pretty much consistently, everybody's like, please do something.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you don't float these ideas out and you don't get out there, even if it's unpopular, we're just going to stagnate because we're doing the same thing over and over again. And we've got to get politicians that aren't scared to kind of go out on a limb. And it's uncomfortable. Trust me, it's uncomfortable when I had somebody call me a nasty word the other day, and it's uncomfortable. You don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
Because my intentions are only, you know, are only to try to make Shreveport a better place for me and my family and for you and your family.
Absolutely.
Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher, look, thanks for jumping on with us. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Hey, look, Mike, every time you say, can you stay on, I've got something, my mind starts to wonder. So that was an easy one.
There okay. you go. There you go. Thanks, Grayson. Thank Talk y'all. To you soon.
Have Take care. Morning.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
of Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Let me say real quick, I've just got a report that said some Senate Republicans say they're close to reaching a deal to reopen the government.
Whoa, okay, good. Good, good, good.
This is a 37-day shutdown so far and now become the longest in our history.
Mm-hmm.
But Senate Majority Leader John Thune said a mini-funding package could get bipartisan support is nearing completion.
All right.
So that would be good news. Oh, he met with Democratic negotiators in an effort to find a solution. So I don't know. We'll see. But
yeah.
Come on, guys.
We do have news on that front, too, on another front, because the president has said that SNAP benefits won't be paid until the government shutdown is over. But several states, Louisiana one of them, mm-hmm. has decided to pay for the SNAP benefits. And the Louisiana benefits will be added to the cards starting tomorrow. But it'll first phase will be just 50% of the benefits added to the cards tomorrow for the disabled and the elderly. And then it will be phased in over time after that. So Louisiana is moving forward. Now, The food bank still needs help, and if you go to the food bank's website, by the way, there's a they have a QR code where you can order just a box that comes already boxed. It's shipped to the food bank, and it's already boxed up. I think it's $18. If you can help fund one box, two box, ten boxes at your office, and I'll put that code on the Keel Facebook page here in a minute, so you can click on that. You can fund a box that they just pick up, and they hand that to the people who need it. And it's got everything included with the protein and everything they need. So they're going to need that because there are going to be people who are not going to get their full amount, A, mm-hmm. and there are going to be people that are not going to be getting it at the time of the month when they're expecting it. So they're going to be out of food, and they're going to be needing help. So I will put that that QR code up here on the Keel Facebook page shortly.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about what's coming Monday?
You want to talk about that after the break?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
I'm loving it.
I don't know if I'm loving it yet.
I'm loving it.
Okay.
We'll talk about that. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
To the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Areas of patchy fog early. Some clouds this morning giving way to generally sunny skies this afternoon. High today, 81 degrees. 81. 81. November.
Yeah, turn on my microphone. Yeah.
First week in November. We're a week into November now.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be 81 degrees.
Well, it's changing. Monday's low is going to be close to freezing.
33.
Yes. Really cold.
Thank you.
Hey, now.
No, it should be.
What I am astonished by, the fair's been open a week, solid week, right?
Aaron,
Knock on wood, head, whatever you got. I don't think I've ever in my memory seen a state fair with no rain.
State fair officials are going, shut up.
I know. Somebody hit that
We're
woman.
Hanging to the weekend.
Yes. I think maybe a teeny shower Sunday, maybe.
Well, I'm looking at 0%.
Wow.
0%.
And then it runs through the 16th.
The 16th, which is next Sunday. And on the 16th is the biggest chance of rain, which is a 24%. Only 24%.
Mike, how's this happening?
In
this
the high, right. 76.
The weather's going to be perfect for the entire run of the fair.
The entire run. In our lives, have we ever seen this?
No.
Because the joke is, well, fair's in town, get ready for a week of rain.
Yeah, exactly.
And it usually does.
In the last 3 or 4 years, they've had to shut it down for a day. In the middle of their afternoon, they've had to shut it down and send everybody home because a thunderstorm roars through. It's like, this is going to be amazing.
State fair officials are going, please shut up.
I know. They do not want us talking about it. We're going to jinx it. But, I mean, it's looking really good.
Sunny next week, Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday. I mean, and sunny. 0% chance of rain all week.
And even the cold on Monday, well, it's not open Monday and Tuesday, so that doesn't matter. The cold's not going to keep people away because it's not open on Monday. And it warms back up.
Cold at night at the fair.
It should be a little bit of a
fair
cool
weather.
What's it going to be like Wednesday when they're back open next week?
77 and sunny. 6% chance of rain.
Wow.
Congratulations, because by golly, they deserve it.
It's time. They need it. Yeah. They need it big time. They need this kind of 2 weeks of just give me gorgeous and let's get people out there. And I haven't heard I've heard a little inkling of a couple of fights, but as some of the officers I've talked to said, it's just people getting into little tussles and they wrap up, and sometimes many of them, police haven't even been called. It's been really a really good run so far.
Again, the fair going, shut up. We got a whole week. We 2 weeks to go.
I'm sorry, fair, but I'm so proud for you right now. I'm hearing people chatter about the fair. Oh, I got to go. I got to get my corn dog. I got to get my deep fried Snickers bar or whatever it is. And what did Chief Smith say as he's walking out the door?
Was it the deep-fried Oreo that he said covered him in powdered sugar? Yes. Looked like he'd done a cocaine bust.
He took a bite of it, and powdered sugar went all over his uniform.
Did you make it out?
I didn't. I'm going today. I had some stuff to do yesterday, but I'm gonna try and go out there for lunch and get a turkey leg or a donut burger. Something ridiculous.
I had the big livestock auction yesterday, I believe, and Mike Strain was in town, the ag commissioner. And
oh, nice.
All the kids were out there, you know, selling the livestock that they breed. And, you know, they put their whole lives into that.
And I love going through the livestock barn, which I heard they've repainted and updated through all.
They have. They've done a lot of work. So, yes, we have a cold front coming. We will feel it on Monday near freezing. But no mention of snow or any of that, right? I mean, there's nothing like that coming.
No. Well, no precipitation at all.
It's just going to be cold, cold, cold.
Beautiful.
And then
weather.
Warming up for the rest of the week. It's going to be awesome.
Beautiful weather.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Now, breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I'm still intrigued by this de-annexation discussion. Grayson Butcher, of course, the city council representative for the Ellerby Road Forbing area that has talked about over. It's been going on for years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've talked about de-annexing from the city of Shreveport. Mm-hmm. And there's pros and cons. Now, Grayson said, never happened. It'll never happen. And anytime anybody says never happen, it'll never happen, it makes me nervous.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't see the council voting for it. I mean, they know where their bread is buttered. They're not stupid. I'd be surprised if the city as a whole didn't say, you know what? We don't need to be patrolling or running your water to you. You're going to pay through the nose for water, though. I'm going to warn you.
Right.
They're going to charge you big bucks to keep getting water.
But it has been brought up. Is the BS to dollars ratio, is it actually, Scott said, there are those that have said, look, we get tax revenue, property tax and sales tax, but is it worth, again, Shreveport police having to go way out in that area, city maintenance services, roads maintenance.
Here's the problem with that, Mike. They're not. Shreveport police are not having to go out. They're not getting nearly the calls out there that they get in, you know, Highland or MLK Queensboro or Moortown. They're not even close. And road maintenance down there, they're not doing that. They haven't, I mean, little projects. Well, it's coming. They're like Grayson just said.
Their roads are becoming in bad shape.
It's going to become a problem.
The city has to. Now, there are some privates, but the city does have to have roads to keep up.
But I saw data that's about a third of the city's property tax revenue. that area.
Okay, well, then that's a significant
chunk. That's a lot of moolah.
Yes.
That's a lot of moolah. And there has been, every 3-4 years, there's been a little bubbling of we need to create our own community. We need to just go with the Caddo Fire District for our fire protection,
and it's
the sheriff for our police protection.
And it's interesting that not so much. We haven't heard so much since Mayor Arsenault's been in office.
No, we have not.
There
we
was
have
a
not.
Lot of rumblings during the previous administration.
Well, they were rumbling when his water fee came up. They were screaming bloody murder. We have 40% water pressure out here, and you want to add another fee? I mean, that was one of the big arguments.
Right,
you know,
right.
They were really saying, but our water pressure out here is horrible.
And the mayor wisely said, fine.
You bet.
I'm trying to come up with a solution. Give me options.
Every alternative. You bet.
We'll scrap this and move on.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was very commendable by the mayor.
Absolutely. Is tomorrow really Friday?
It on one hand, it seems like, all right, it's already Friday. But on the other hand, this has been a long week.
It has been a long week. It definitely has. But Friday's coming. Mega Millions is $853 million tomorrow night. And the Tigers play Bama Saturday.
And YouTube TV and Disney better get their
schnizzle together. They need to get it together.
Let's get it going.
Quick. Definitely.
Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on that free Keel app.